It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why the doctor says I can't ever look at those magic eye 3D things anymore, or the bleeding's just going to start again.
Well, it's a good thing you can barely find them anymore,
right? Right? Like, but how irresponsible were we in, like, the 90s and stuff? Those are just around. Kids can look at those. Like,
I guess. I mean,
that's terrible.
I haven't seen one anywhere, like, in that person's house or anything in ages.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe, like, so many people died or something.
I never saw anything looking at them.
Ever?
Nope.
I got probably 80% of the ones that I looked at, but I couldn't always get them consistently. What's odd is...
I don't even really know what... I mean, I could never get it, so that's probably why.
I have pool noodles. You know what pool noodles are?
Oh, yeah, sure.
The foam things. We have one that's a big one, in that it's probably only about 2 foot long, but it has a little tiny hole, and the diameter of the whole thing is like 6 inches or something. Mm. So it's like a massive cylinder. It doesn't bend at all or anything. But it's made out of the same stuff. I like using it because I just like lie on top of it, like with my armpits, and just sort of float around in the pool. But sometimes I'll lay there, and like my face is right close to it, and I realized, I discovered something. I can adjust my eyes such that I start seeing something very similar to the 3D effect, but also my eyes sort of lock, and like I can't refocus them without like concentrating and trying really hard. And because I'm me, the first time it happened, I was like, oh dude, I couldn't get my eyes back. That's cool, let's try that again. But yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I can't explain to you the stuff, but I've definitely had.
So when you looked at those pictures, so what did they? I couldn't even understand when people were telling me what they look like.
Picture,
when you do it, right?
You're looking at a diorama, but a shitty one, in that the background and the only object in the foreground have the same covering.
But it looked like there was some. Some
yes,
3D
it
object.
Like, well, just imagine that. Imagine I took like a cardboard thing of a dolphin,
okay,
and stuck it on a stick, and it was covered in that 3D crap. And then behind it was the walls were covered in the same 3D crap.
Well, how could you even see it?
That's the thing. You can just sort of barely, but you can't. I mean, if you moved a little bit, because remember, it's always a pattern on the back. So if you move, the pattern shifts slightly different relation. But yeah, but it's not much. That's what it looked like.
How did anyone even figure all that out?
I have no idea. Math.
They were ridiculously popular for a long time. And I started to doubt that it was even a thing, or if people were just being talked into it.
It was one of the more impressive optical illusions. And it became a game, because it became that exact thing of like, can you see it? I mean, they had a whole Seinfeld episode about it. Because some people could see it and some people couldn't. And some people said they could, but you're like, I'm not sure.
I never saw a thing.
We're watching Cat's Face Off. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that comes with a second podcast free of equal or lesser value with the purchase of one podcast and a beverage.
Surprisingly, nobody's purchased
offer not valid in a lot of places.
Yeah,
see our website for details.
Surprisingly, no one's ever purchased the podcast to get the other podcast.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a backlog of these other podcasts wrapped in plastic.
Just sitting around. Swamp Toes is my favorite. We've got like 400 episodes of that, but nobody's heard it.
Nope.
Oh, Swamp Toes.
Maybe it's for the best.
It is maybe too good. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 312.
Guess what?
What?
Good job. you remember we were talking a week or two ago because an old coworker of ours, Courtney, commented on both the blog and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, does she listen all the time or was she just listening now? And you didn't know, I believe.
Didn't know.
Well, last night, while trying out the new restaurant Orien, which is where Mekong was, they bought it out. And now she was there with some friends when we were there.
Huh.
And so I talked to her. And apparently, no, she totally listens. She just says nothing. Oh. She's just a lurker until recently. But yeah, she's been listening, I don't know, long time fan, so.
Well, that's nice.
So, hi, Courtney. Also, yeah, this, I mean, and Trish said at the time, she's like, see, you talk about how many listeners you have. You don't actually know. And it amazes me, because I could never listen to a podcast for years and not, like, do something.
What amazes me is the people we find out who listen or who regularly listen. What amazes me is how all these people are pretty smart people.
Yeah.
Like Courtney, for example, she was one of the most valued workers where we were. And she's a very sharp person, smart, big-hearted person. You know, that's like a quality person listening to your podcast. And I can say that for just about every single person who listens. There's some great quality of theirs. They're very creative. Yeah, Courtney's really creative. They're all like makers, you know,
almost all
of them, of some kind or the other. And so, I don't know, that makes you feel pretty good, even though you've got like 10 listeners. They're all these really brilliant, talented people.
Well, I think it sort of follows, and I want to say this just right, because I'm not saying, well, our podcast is really smart, so of course I'm not saying that. But I think our podcast is of a nature based, I think, largely in apathy and tediousness at the same time, that, like, it either really gets you thinking, or you couldn't stand to listen to a full episode.
I suppose that's true.
So I feel like it maybe attracts thinkers, not because we're thoughtful, but because we are messed up in such a way that you couldn't just be like, it's just entertaining. No,
well,
it's
we've,
not.
We've
no,
been,
it's not.
You and I have been very fortunate. I mean, I know this is true for me, and all the people that you've introduced me to that you know are like this, so I guess I observe that's the same for you. We've been very lucky to meet and know people. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know how that happened. One thing, the place we used to work seemed to attract smart, creative people just as a matter of course, I suppose. I could never quite figure out how that worked, but I did notice, like, I mean, one of the managers that we had, you know, in common, was, like, I think had a master's degree in geology. It's like, you know, crazy things like that, you know. That's not crazy, but I mean, it's impressive. You can, it's
pretty crazy in a call center.
You can have a conversations.
A lot of rocks.
You can have conversations with this person that you can't have with really anybody else. And it's just, I don't know. It was such an interesting place, and it attracted such interesting people. But and you know, Grinnell is a pretty good school. You know,
I've always thought so.
You went there, and that
for
and,
how much we paid them,
and
better be.
And you met some extraordinary people
yeah.
there.
That's well, what. And our entire demographic, at least of people who actually say something, our entire demographic of listeners, two things: friends of ours,
mm-hmm.
and Happy Jacks folk, most of whom I would even say, maybe they didn't start as friends, but they were still. It was all Happy Jack folk who knew me and talked with me on the forums.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of our really hardcore forever listeners came from there. But those are the two groups, and so I think that works, because people who aren't sort of like that, I'm not saying we wouldn't be friends with them, but they wouldn't find us interesting enough to listen
to. Probably not.
And in general, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say every friend I ever have is super smart, and I'm not friends with people who aren't. Who is this person who's saying these things?
I don't know, but everybody you've ever introduced me to is pretty exceptional.
But I will say that in general, if you aren't thoughtful in some fashion, I get bored. Like, you know, I'll hang out with you for an evening drinking beer or whatever, but the people that are real friends have to be thinkers.
Well, yeah, and I think for me, there's nobody but a exceptionally smart and or nice person is going to put up with me and my nonsense. So,
and actually, I think thinkers is a better term now, because now that I think about it, I can think of one in particular good friend as far as I know, does not listen to the show, so nobody needs to feel bad about this. Honestly, I think they're pretty dumb. But they're very thoughtful.
Oh, okay.
And so I find them interesting, and we have great interactions. I'm like, they're not super smart, but they're very thoughtful, and they're big thinkers, and so you can have very interesting conversations with them. So I think it's more about, yeah, just somebody who thinks about stuff that determines...
That probably is a good way of putting it, especially if it's...
Of course, because I don't hold a lot of stock in the whole intelligence concept.
I don't either. But I think that's a good way to describe it, especially when one acknowledges that a person doesn't have to be a thinker, like we're describing, to be interesting. I mean, there's lots of people who, you know, they don't particularly take a lot of time to think through things in the course of their life, but they can still be very interesting. They can be very talented. They can be very thoughtful or nice. Yeah. You know, sometimes people actually...
They still wouldn't generally be the people that I'm friends with.
I can understand that, but I mean, you know...
That's why I have to keep reminding myself with, like, celebrities. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, yeah, that's not the kind of people you would hang out with.
Well, and some
except
people...
Except for the cool ones.
Some people find so-called thinkers to be a very annoying people to hang out with. I mean,
we are.
I get that all the time, mm-hmm. where I can see that a person doesn't want to have anything to do with me because
we're a mess.
I think too much about things as far as they're concerned, which is fine. I can respect that.
Most of my cats feel that way.
I wish there was another mode of being I could snap into so that they could feel more comfortable around me.
But you don't do drugs, so.
That's probably...
Because there's a lot of ways to snap into a new mode of being, I'll tell you. That would fit in perfectly with that. But, I should probably explain the show for all those first-time listeners. They're like, what the hell? He's not even so smart, and everybody else is dumb. And these people just hate us. Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves, cool people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its servants...
Wait, I had a good one. Because I heard it's something that Trump used in his speech.
Oh, God damn it. We, it's bigly servants.
Oh, shoot, what was it? Because he's creating that new group in the Homeland Security for victims of immigration crime engagement.
Ooh, we, it's engaged servants.
Yeah, because it doesn't
the
make any...
The wedding is in 4 months.
It doesn't make any sense. In the acronym, it's like you could tell they used that word because they couldn't come up with a better one. Well, we run into that problem, too. We need an E word.
No. Make an acronym is hard. Also, I learned that technically, if it doesn't make a new word, if it's just like
it's not
three
an acronym,
letters, whatever,
yeah.
It's not an acronym. It is just an abbreviation.
It's got to make a word.
Yeah. Anyway, we, it's engaged servants. Draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored. That's the whole show.
Yep.
Also, it's kind of a lie, but...
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of other things.
That's the premise of the show.
Yeah.
So how has your week been?
Let's see. I mean, yeah, it's been good. Been pretty busy.
Are you playing any new video games?
Well, you know, by all rights, we ought to be playing that Horizon...
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, we should be playing that, but we're not.
You absolutely should be playing that. I kind of want to play that. Between that and Andromeda coming out at the end of the month, this could throw off my whole thing.
Well, that's just it. I mean, we're so ready for Andromeda that we probably won't. We'll probably just go right to Andromeda and we'll take Horizon down the road. Nothing.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Especially when there's something out there that we are interested in playing. But nope, nothing yet.
I'm about 60. Somewhere between 65 and 70 hours into Dragon Age Inquisition. I went to go stop the Empress's assassination and did that whole thing, which, Jesus Christ, took forever. That ball was really long.
The party, yeah.
And yeah, so now I'm messing around other places again. Still liking it, but starting to think ahead to whatever will come next.
I'm trying to think. There's the usual TV shows we're watching. It seems like there's been a film we watched, but now I don't remember. So
I got about 9,000 words into the editing draft of my book.
Oh, that's good.
And in the last 4 days, I've gone to the gym 3 times.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah, that's gone well. Not too much of the 9,000 words had to be written. Like a lot of it was just copy pasting into the new one, but some of it was. We're getting closer and closer to the part that's just basically going to be writing again. I'm getting nervous about that, but I'm actually thinking. So in not this weekend, not the next weekend, weekend after that, Trish is going to be gone. I'm going to be here. I'm thinking I'm going to take some of that time and do like some intensive writing work then.
That might be good. Sometimes that works really good.
Well, it did a different time. There was a time when I took a day off and I stayed here and I put out like 5,000 new words and cleaned up a lot of stuff.
Some time ago, the last novel I published, I think I said on the podcast that I was going to take a week. Somehow it was going to work out where I knew I'd have a lot of time during the week, or I was going to set aside time. And I was worried because you never really know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And it went really well. The whole week went great. Now, you know, I'm working on this new project. I'm on episode 5. It's hard. Oh, man, it's so hard.
I literally had months when I looked at my draft when I started writing again. The last time I edited it was, like, early January.
Yeah, that kind of thing happens. Well, the good thing about working on a screenplay type of thing, though, is that it's a lot easier to do that thing they say you should do, where just do something. Like just,
yeah.
Even if you think it's going to be stupid and nonsense, just do it because it's better than nothing, and maybe it'll amount to something. Even if it doesn't, it's, you know, whatever. It's a lot easier to do that, to just push yourself through it. But
well, and that's I do in the first draft. But I'm conscious of I want to go through it and catch the obvious stuff. I don't want to be giving it to you guys to edit and say, hey, did you notice that this dead person is back in this next chapter?
Yep.
And that's what's taking so long. But I'm getting closer to where I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to write it because I need to get it out of my hands for a little. I need some other input. But we'll see. I don't think it'll be too much longer. We'll see. I think we're saying, because we can't remember, that I probably started writing it in May. So I'm thinking, you know, probably around then it'll be ready. Notice the baby shoes are gone again?
No.
They are.
I mean, I have to park further and further down the street because of, I don't know, there's people parking on the side of the street.
Yeah, there's a lot of vehicles.
Now that didn't used to. So I don't even walk past that really anymore.
Well, good thing, or you would cry because the baby shoes are gone.
Someone stole them, huh?
Yeah, and I knew it because you knew it was the junior high's right there. You know, it was some junior high kid, and as soon as they walked by another time, saw him was back, they took them again, I'm sure.
Yeah, they get to say, hey, I get to have fun with these again.
Maybe this time they kept them. Who knows?
They didn't throw them out in the street, though.
If they did, somebody got them or something. We haven't seen them. So that's a little sad. Still watching Emerald City?
Yes, I am.
I am so excited that in one more episode, I never have to watch the show again. Man, is it starting to suck.
It's not coming back?
I doubt it. It apparently is not doing well.
Yeah, I really doubt it.
But I'm also pretty confident, even if it does, I won't watch it. It's awful. I mean, I finally started realizing they can't maintain character motivation or plot through a scene.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I was always mad because I hated all the characters, which I do, but like they can't have character personality continuity through one scene. It's insane.
I feel bad about it because there's a lot of things I like about it.
I was real excited at the beginning, but
yeah, it's too bad.
We're a little behind on Legion. I found out when I thought we had finished season 2 of Silicon Valley. We started season 3, and it did sort of a catch-up thing, and it was doing things we didn't know about.
Oh,
I went back and looked, and I'm like, oh, it's 10 episodes, not 8. So we just watched the last 2 of those, so we're caught up on that now. And we did see a movie. We went and saw John Wick Chapter 2.
Mm.
My boss was really excited because she finally saw a movie before me. You remember, I assume you did not end up watching John Wick.
No.
No. But you remember me talking about John Wick?
Oh, kind of. I mean, it's not really my thing.
Keanu Reeves is an ex-criminal badass who's retired now, and his wife died, and he has this puppy, and some jerk mobster kills the puppy and steals his car, and so he just murders everyone in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even... Out of vengeance. How can that even be entertaining?
Well, it's entertaining if you like violent action movies.
Oh.
And this has an edge in that it feels righteous because people... this is the thing. My boss said, you're like, and that scene where they kill the dog, because in the first one they kill the dog, she's like, that was not okay. I'm like, you're right, it was not okay. It was a rough scene. You also realize that kind of shit happens all the time, and it's not a dog, it's usually a woman. And while we're kind of bothered, we clearly, as a people, are more bothered by the dog scene than the woman scene, and that's weird.
That is weird.
And we need to admit that that's weird.
I think it's largely true, though.
But it's more... In the 80s, we just watched guys murder everybody, and it was... The rationale was, this guy's a good guy, this guy's a bad guy. Nowadays, we need a little more, and this is the little more right here. It's like, they kill this puppy, he's a jerk, they go after him. Anyway, in the process, they also illustrated this weird underground network of assassins and hitmen, and in particular, there was this hotel downtown that only hitmen stay at, and they pay with gold coins, and there's rules that you can't do work in the hotel, so like competing assassins can talk and things like that. And it was very interesting, and people were very intrigued by this, and that's why they're making more of them. They're making three of them at least. And so then they did the second one, and the second one definitely expands on that mythology. Who's yelling? Why are you... Oh, Ezzy, you got a toy? And now you dropped it. Alright, that's fun. She kind of likes playing fetch, but she has no idea how fetch works, so... anyway, so they expanded on that mythology, and it is kind of cool. Both Trish and I weren't super into it. The whole thing very much reminds me of... Remember The Matrix?
Yeah.
Everybody loved The Matrix?
Yeah.
Remember the second Matrix came out?
Mm-hmm.
This is what it felt like again. Mm. This felt like John Wick Reloaded. And for the record, I did not hate the second Matrix movie.
I didn't hate it either. But it wasn't as good.
I didn't bother to see the third one.
Yeah,
I eventually read up on it. But
it was okay.
But yeah, it wasn't as good. And it was one of those, like, it wasn't as good. And in the moment, it was hard exactly to say why. You're like... they're sort of giving me more of the same, but they seem to have sort of not gotten the reason I liked it.
Yeah, well, when it comes to The Matrix, they didn't need two more movies.
No. Same thing with John Wick. You did not need a sequel to John Wick.
And they apparently didn't come up with a good reason to make them. I mean, the stuff they did was interesting, but it was like, it just wasn't enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where if you're a movie exec, you should say, I like that you want to capitalize on the success of this first movie, but you don't have any... There's nothing there. Or what you're coming up with isn't very good.
But Trish and I each stated two reasons why we did not like it as well, or problems that we have with it. Interestingly, we each have two completely different reasons, but we each have two reasons. Trish's, pretty straightforward. She said, too much plot and too much hand-to-hand combat. She was there for the action, and she wanted more shooting.
Hmm.
She's not wrong on either front, but that is not my thing. My thing is, they gave us more mythology, and also, this story isn't quite as rushed in the sense that the first one had a very driving pace to it. This one, you pause and you linger in places, which is fine. Movies can do that. But the problem is, in doing it in this movie, I become much more aware of the various small plot holes and inconsistencies. And that threw me off. And then the other thing for me, I wasn't really on his side. And that's a problem, because that's the only way it works. And that's why the first one worked. Everybody was like, you go get those puppy killers, you know, in the first one. But this time, first of all, there's a prologue where I'm like, I'm not only not on your side, I'm on the other guy's side. Like, this was horrible, you're a terrible person. And then most of the movie, I won't at all spoil the plot, but... Instead of, these people did something horrible and he's getting revenge, this is, this man made some poor decisions in his past, and now the natural consequences of those decisions are coming to fruition.
And to stop them, he has to kill all these people.
Well, or it more involves people are trying to kill him, and so sure, he has to sure. run. And but it's a bunch of stuff where I'm like, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I wasn't rooting for the other guys, but I'm just like, he has no righteousness in this one. There's no righteousness to him.
Well, now you're just supposed to like him.
Well, and that's he's just to be the enough. Good guy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And we keep playing on that weird, and yeah, I don't know. It was fine. I was glad I saw it. It was entertaining. But I don't know. It was definitely not as good as the first, and I don't know that I'll go see the third. So,
are you going to see Get Out?
Oh my God! So here's the deal. I love Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key, but Jordan Peele. Who directed
yeah,
it?
Yeah, directed one. It. That's
one. Love him. Very excited about this idea.
Yeah.
See the trailers, and you know, I love horror movies. I'm like, this looks rough. Like, this looks like a good movie that would horrify me in like ways that I wouldn't necessarily enjoy.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna do it. And I go to the moviespoiler.com and I read the whole thing because I totally do want to know what the plot is. So I read it, so I know everything that happens in the movie. But people won't stop, like. They love this movie. Critics, regular, everybody
mm-hmm.
says it's just fucking amazing. And as somebody pointed out to me the other day, it's not the kind of movie, like technically there is, you know, a reveal and you could have that spoiled as I now do, but it's not the kind of, like I don't think it would impact my viewing of the movie much.
Mm.
Like that's sort of not the point. And it's impressive, just from what I know of it. It's impressive. So, I'm going to guess probably not in the theater, especially because I don't know that Trish is down, but...
well, I'm really...
I probably will at some point,
it's,
yeah.
It wouldn't normally probably be a film I'd care about, except that he directed it. I mean,
yeah.
I have a lot of respect for those guys.
Well, and he's making plans now. He's got at least three other movies planned in the next decade that are sort of thematically similar.
Well, good for him.
They're spiritual successors, as
because he's clearly got the chops for it.
Yeah,
and that's I think that's great. I definitely want to support that. So yeah, that's really the only reason I'm interested. I probably won't see it in the theater either, though. I think we will see Kong in the theater, as I said before. But
we finally saw a longer trailer on that, and I was like, eh. But I still have no interest. But it got to the point where I'm like, yeah, I could see why somebody might want to see that. I just I don't care.
Well, I'm not really a big monster movie fan, but my wife is.
Mm.
And so...
See, I think of you as, when it comes to the old Universal classic monsters, I always considered you to be a fan of.
Well, not of the big ones. Not like... I mean... like
do you mean literally
the
big?
Big.
Okay. Like
Godzilla big.
I was like, you don't like the... you're like a hipster for Universal monsters. I only like the lesser known ones. No, I mean the actual
large
house.
Ones, yes.
That's yeah. Okay. No, I understand. Yeah.
But the very first Godzilla movie film is actually really super good. I mean, filmmaking wise, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it didn't suddenly make me a fan of giant monster movies, but I thought it was really good. I've seen all of the iterations of King Kong just as a cultural study, which I found far more interesting than I expected. But it's my wife who really likes the, like, you know, Pacific Rim. I mean,
yeah.
That was more her speed than mine. But I like watching them with her, so
yeah.
We'll probably.
And I loved seeing Pacific Rim exactly once, and we talked about that.
Yeah.
Which is also why I'm probably going to see the Power Rangers movie in the theater. And I will probably see it once, and then I will probably never, ever bother to see it again.
I am interested in that film. Not in the theaters, but I'm interested in seeing it. We'll probably watch it.
Because it... And I didn't sort of realize it until I looked back on my adolescence and young adulthood, but I was totally a Power Rangers kid. Like, I watched so much fucking Power Rangers. And it was just a straight outgrowth of Voltron, because I loved Voltron when I was a kid. And this was a version of that, sort of.
Well, what I like is that they seem to want to make a serious, somewhat serious film, science fiction type film
out of it.
I like that, and I'd like to see that. One thing that bothers me about a lot of reboots and remakes is, like, the shows that I grew up watching that are a little bit before your time probably, like Starsky and Hutch and Chips and stuff like that,
yeah.
they reboot those, and they're total goofball comedies.
There's
and
not so much, Ryan. Like I was the era for 21 Jump Street. I didn't watch it, but it was of my generation.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing there. Yeah, I saw the Chips thing, though, because I loved Chips. I saw the Chips one. I was like, oh, and then I saw a trailer, and I was like, nope.
Well, I realize... I
mean, to be fair, pretty much if you show me Dax Shepard in a lead, I'm not watching that movie.
But I get that when you watch Starsky and Hutch and Chips, it doesn't hold up. I get that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that when you reboot it, it's just got to be some big joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have comedy in it still. But, I mean, I don't know.
This reminds me that you're old.
Yes, I am old. Older, 8 years older than you.
Are you at all familiar with a film... came out in 71, called Billy Jack.
Yeah, I have heard of it, but I don't think I've seen it.
I have just now heard of it and its creators and the two follow-up movies, including the one that never got released. And I am fascinated. And apparently, commercially at least, they were huge.
Well,
and yet, nobody remembers them now.
I would have been three when it came out.
Like the sequel, which was like 75 or whatever, was I think the highest grossing movie of that year, and a couple of like Godfather 2 and something else were in that same year. And I've seen it in a couple places, but today I read a sort of extensive thing that corrected on it. And as near as I can tell, a man who was an actor at the time named Tom Laughlin and his wife had very strong feelings about things. You would probably call them leftist. They were very pro-alternative education. They were very pro-Native Americans and spirituality and Eastern philosophies and such.
Sure.
They were very anti-Congress. They were very anti-Nixon. They were very anti-nuclear power.
Okay.
This kind of stuff. And they made a movie that is basically a more sincere exploitation film. But, like, you know how there's blaxploitation? This was, like, Native American exploitation, except the lead was Tom Laughlin, who's a white guy. But it was, he's just this badass guy, and he knows martial arts, and he knows all this spiritual wisdom from the Native Americans, and he just kicks the shit out of everybody, and there's a whole bunch, he has there's an alternative school in it that he and this other woman, played by his wife, run, where they teach things, and apparently it's just ridiculous, but it was weirdly super popular.
Okay.
And so they let him make another one with more budget. And it's 2.5 hours long.
Wow.
And apparently it still has a lot of karate chopping and things like that. But it's also got really long bouts of this navel-gazing philosophies and things. Apparently it's amazing. And then he decides to make a third one. Oh, so because that one was the trial of Billy Jack was the second one, because he got arrested for whatever freedom fighting he was doing or whatever, and they had to deal with that. The 2.5 hour one. This one was, I forget what it was called, but what it was Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, but with Billy Jack. So Billy Jack became a senator and went there and fought against nuclear power.
Oh, okay.
Possibly with kung fu punches, I don't know. But for uncertain reasons, possibly involving him really pissing off a bigwig at one of the studios, it never got released. And then since then, he died in 2013, I think, but he and his wife did have a Montessori school, but also he kept trying to make more of these, and nobody would go for it, and he ran for president a couple times, under, I think he's run under, like, everything. I think he ran Democrat once, Republican once, Independent once. I forget. He might have done a Green Party run. And he's just has some very strong kind of hippie-ish feelings about a lot of stuff. But I'm just... And like I said, the first two apparently made tons of money. But then it just disappeared. And I'm really fascinated. I've not seen any of these, so I'm incredibly interested. Billy Jack, The Trial of Billy Jack, and I don't think it's Billy Jack Goes to Washington, but it might be. It might just be that.
Have you ever played the board game?
Oh, sorry.
I think it's called The Fury of Dracula or Dracula's Fury or something like that.
That you sent the video. Yes. Yeah.
You have played it?
I did once at Dan and Lisa's. And I... What it's supposed to be is every one person plays Dracula and everybody else plays other characters.
Yeah.
The time I was doing it, basically, me... I don't remember who the other person was, and me and Isabel Cody, Suki's daughter, who was like 11 at the time, were all Dracula because Isabel and I didn't really care. She was like drawing, and I was just sitting on the couch, so we sort of were involved.
Oh,
in
I see.
But the three of us were playing Dracula. And what I was probably drunk off my ass too at the time. It might have been a New Year's. I don't know. What was really amazing, though, for us, is by pure coincidence, our game basically followed the path of the story. Like, all
the
way
right
down
from
to
the
and,
book, yeah.
And Dracula was fleeing back to his castle.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It was really kind of interesting how that worked out. But yes, I am familiar with that game. Which is just, it's one of those big-ass, takes 12 hours board games. And this one is Dracula, like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It's complicated. I don't usually like games with really complicated rules, because I can't remember
really
them all.
A lot of the Fantasy Flight ones. Arkham Horror is another
but
one.
But the board is so cool, and the idea is so cool, and it pulls so many things back from the actual story, and it's like, wow, this seems like this would be...
Have you ever
watched
people play Arkham Horror? Because that's a similar kind of thing.
No.
It's really fascinating, and the board is gorgeous, and the whole... gameplay is gorgeous, but it takes forever. I played it with 9 people one time. We played it 8.5 hours and then had to agree to stop. Because we're like, we're not going to come back tomorrow.
Isn't there something you could do to make it go a little faster? I mean, I don't mind a
possibly,
game...
At the time, we even had the King in Yellow expansion, so that could have even thrown
I don't mind a game that's like 3 or 4 hours, but you're, like you said, 8 hours and it's still not done and you don't know when it'll be done? That's
and
a little
sometimes
rough.
They can be much shorter than that.
Like yeah. Monopoly is... I don't even want to get started with that game because it could go forever, and it's not. And the longer it goes, the less fun it is.
Some games are timeless. Monopoly was a stepping stone to greater games and should be ignored now. Not saying it wasn't useful and that we don't owe it a lot for its history, but we don't sit around listening to, you know, recordings of the cavemen bonking the sticks on the rocks. There's a couple reasons why we don't do that, but one of them is just that it's not interesting at this point.
Yeah, I guess. I'm kind of interested in playing that game for some reason. It looks like it's fun.
This coming weekend's very busy.
For you?
For the town. Saturday, there's a pancake breakfast fundraiser for the Crisis Center.
Oh.
And Neuroduck's going to be serving there, so we're going to go to that. Saturday night, first Derby home game of the season.
Oh, really?
Yep. 6 o'clock, doors open at 5:15. Check it out. And then Sunday, there's another rally downtown to protest the rescinding of the presidential... About the transgender students.
Oh, is this a second one that they're doing, or because you talked last week like there was one last weekend.
There's pretty much a protest or a rally every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the first one related to this.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll be going to that too. So yeah, it's going to be pretty busy. All right, should we hatch some things?
Okay. Let's do it. You know you want to do it.
Oh, did I tell you I sent my entire division a link to the YouTube of Inquire Within?
You did tell me that.
Yes. Exactly one person told me that they watched it. And they said they liked it.
Oh, well, that's good.
I was really kind of surprised at the lack of response, but...
Oh, well. Jazz wants to know...
Jazz wants to know so many things.
You get to choose the qualities of a superhero. What are they?
See, on the surface, this sounds like one of our old... If to get a superpower, what it, is it? Mm. But now it just sounds like we're trying to define what makes a superhero. Or is it like we're going to have somebody who fights crime in Iowa City, but we get to design them? Like, I don't... What do you think this is saying exactly?
I think it... I'm taking it as you're going to invent one, or you're going to start a comic book, and what qualities will your superhero have? And it doesn't... not necessarily their powers.
Okay, because I mean, if we're really trying to just define the platonic superhero, or what we think would be the best... First of all, I hate superheroes in any practical sense. They're a terrible idea. But if we were going to do that, it's just Superman, right? I mean...
Why do you think superheroes are a terrible idea?
Because I read Watchmen a couple times. Just in general, because I think it flies in the face of the legal and justice system we have. It sort of defeats the purpose. And inevitably, it frequently gets, at least in all the stories, it gets very myopic, or it's just a poor use of resources. Like Batman, the primary thing with Batman, of course, is all the time, energy, and most importantly, money he puts into that could do so much more good elsewhere. But mostly, I'm just like, I don't like things that are above the law, which is sort of the point of superheroes. You are pro superhero yourself?
I have a lot of the same issues with them that you just mentioned from a practical standpoint. I mean, because remember, I say this all the time, I'm really not a fiction kind of guy. And
yeah.
Every piece of fiction has things like that about it that make me not interested in it. But what, of all the types of fiction that I end up consuming and enjoying, probably, you know, superhero fiction is one of the earliest that I can remember. And I do enjoy it quite a bit because most of that stuff, well, first of all, I appreciate efforts that storytellers make to counteract some of that stuff, like making sure that the reader knows that they're duly appointed deputies, or that, you know, Batman's also giving into this foundation, and, you know, he's saving lives and stuff. So I appreciate those little moves that people make to overcome some of those problems. But for the most part, I just see superhero narratives as just being just modern day hero narratives. I mean, you know, like stories that have been told forever in most cultures. This is just the way we're telling it here. And I think it's kind of interesting that we tell it the way we do, like you said, in ways that challenge authority, that challenge law enforcement, that challenge ideas of law.
I'm opposed to superheroes as an actual thing. I did not say that they don't make good narratives. Hell, that's how Batman works. Batman is sort of a horrible idea.
In real life,
and part of what's interesting in Batman is exploring the conflict of that.
Oh, yeah,
that he has this obsession
would
stop and calm his tits for 2 seconds.
Well, and
he could come up with other
And realizing that so many ways the line between him and the villains is so thin.
Makes for interesting stories.
Yeah.
Batman in real life would suck. And I also do want to say, out of fairness, there have come into being actual costumed heroes.
Yeah, in some places,
In the real world. And the variety that stay legal, that don't actually break any laws or, you know, like assault people or things like that, I am totally in favor of. If they want to wear a costume and call themselves a weird name and it makes it more fun for them to be helpful, okay, whatever. But also, B, I think there is a psychological component you can do that. Kids can look up to that person because they're a superhero and things
like
that.
Well, then they can... Maybe the person themselves can call something out in themselves that it's hard for them to do without the help of that psychological.
So I don't want to deride those individuals. But, I mean, those individuals are essentially like the guardian angels.
Neighborhood Watch, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if people are actually going out and finding criminals and, like, beating the shit out of them and stuff.
Or spying on people using surveillance.
I am opposed to that.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, if you know, I a lot of the stuff I'm working on, in a way, it is figuring out, it is creating a superhero of sorts, or someone that might other people might think fit into the superhero genre. And I do think about what qualities I'd want that person to have as a heroic figure. Mm-hmm. Not just as a hero of the story, not like, well, there's a hero of the narrative, there's a protagonist, you know, hero as being synonymous with protagonist, but hero as in this person is going to do things that are morally laudable but not morally obligatory. It's something that other people won't do, but it's not because they're immoral people, but it's because it's very dangerous or it's very difficult, but this person is going to do it. You know, like a fireman or a firewoman going into a burning building or whatever. That kind of, that's heroic to me. That's what.
Everything okay in there?
Benedict Cumberbatch attacked me. Benedict Cumberbatch was here.
When I went to see Doctor Strange, I got her the tin popcorn bucket, the collectible one. So apparently that just fell off.
but to me, a superhero is just someone who's doing that in an exaggerated way, perhaps. But the qualities I want a superhero to have, I like aspirational characters and superheroes. I like the superhero to be challenged, but I'm not particularly concerned if the hero is realistic. Like, I don't have a problem with a hero overcoming some challenge or something that's difficult in a way that most people would find nearly impossible. I don't mind that. I'm okay with a hero being a little better than your average human being. Mm-hmm. Now, some people don't like that. They don't relate to that or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind it because I know this is a fantasy. I know this isn't real, but I find it inspiring and helpful to imagine that, you know, maybe a challenge like this, which if it were happening in the real world would be so insurmountable that nobody could probably deal with it. But here's a story sort of rehearsing through how someone would deal with it. And it, I don't know, somehow psychologically I find that very satisfying. And then, you know, when I go about my life and the challenges aren't anything like the challenge in the comic book, it, I don't know, it puts some perspective into it, and I find that I can cope with things better because of that inspirational and aspirational example. Again, that's me. I realize that a lot of people don't feel that way about, you know, morally, I don't know. A lot of people think...
You're starting to do that thing where you're defending your argument against no one.
It's not against no one, because I know there are a lot of people who hate those characters. I mean,
yeah, me, but yeah. I'm not going to argue that you hate them.
No, I know, but I just want
to... You don't need to remind me that I don't
it's
like
not, but not just you. I'm sure a lot of our listeners
I know, but
that
I mean,
way.
We get it.
Okay.
We're not like, I find that statement suspect because I and many other people don't feel that way.
That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying I can see it both sides of the argument is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, because I hate those. Because I don't relate. And because I think it takes away a lot of the most interesting stuff. Superman is boring to me. I know he has his struggles. They do not ever seem interesting to me. And his reaction to situations virtually never surprises me. And the few times it does are the times where everybody's like, wow, that was so unlike Superman. And they are few and far between. And frequently they are done so sloppily that I'm like, yeah, I don't believe that happened. Like, that's so out of character that you've taken me out of the story.
Yeah, yeah,
that
right,
clearly
right.
didn't happen.
Yeah.
I get some of that with Batman too, but Batman works. Weirdly, because you know I don't like this superhero, but I think in terms of the qualities of character, my ideal one, and there's many examples, but I don't like this one, but it's exactly it, Spider-Man. A similar example that I do like is Harry Dresden is another one of these. I know he's not a superhero in the traditional sense, but
I think he's
and it's this
really.
Idea of individuals who are not aspirational. They aren't better in that sense, but due to whatever circumstance, which frequently involves having powers or some greater resource than other people, are morally find themselves morally compelled by their own principles to try and help and do good, and the narrative interest comes in the struggle of both defining and executing that. So when you're like, with great power comes great responsibility, and I believe this, so I have to go and do good things, but sometimes I misstep as to what was the best, sometimes it turns out that was not the best thing to do, or sometimes it gets really hard, and I'm tempted to take the easy route that I know is morally compromised, and maybe even sometimes I do, you know, that kind of thing. The reason I still don't like Peter Pan is I don't like teenagers and I don't like stupid. And Peter Parker is stupid. He does a lot of really dumb things. And I also am so tired of the I can't let anyone in or let anybody know anything about me because it will put them in danger trope.
Yeah.
That has been played the fuck out, and stop it. Even Dresden Files, he eventually grew beyond it. And it's still a character flaw, because he still has the urge to protect people by closing them out. But he has grown, and he is aware of this, and he, you know, adjusts his behavior. And that I'm okay. Peter Parker's still the fucker.
It really isn't a very mature way to look at things at all.
Well, that's exactly it. It's incredibly brave, and I understand why you'd think it would be good, but yeah, it's not very mature.
Yeah.
I
mean, you could understand it, you know, if it was a young person thinking that way and doing things that way, but as you said, you would expect eventually they'd realize, well, that's not right at all. That doesn't actually make any sense when you really examine it and try to put it into practice.
And I will say Batman has some of this, but Batman is just so self-deluded. There's just huge swaths of introspection that Batman will never do. and that's where it ruins it. Wonder Woman's better, because Wonder Woman is constantly aware of a disconnect between herself and the world she lives in. And so she's constantly sort of analyzing that, which makes her do that. That's the thing. My heroes need to be introspective. And yeah, I just don't get Superman. I've never got Superman. And a lot of Marvel ones, some Marvel ones pull that out. A lot of them, just angst-filled and self-obsessed is not the same thing. Which a lot, especially in the X-Men field of Marvel superheroes, there's a lot of that.
Well, hero narratives are hard because, you know, where hero narratives come from in, you know, among humans in general is you have a group, sometimes no bigger than a tribe or whatever, and there's some existential threat, usually very straightforward and simple, you know, that's not complicated. You know, a dragon's eating all the sheep or something, you know, something very unambiguous. And,
You okay?
This time, Maddie decided to jump up on my back from before.
All right.
And,
You're just telling the origin story of Sheepman, aren't you?
No, I love Sheepman. I'm just saying that where these things come from is from a very basic and simple place.
Woolly Crusader.
So when you try to tell these...
A fluffy night.
When you try to tell these stories today, and people want them to be more complex than that. I don't want to say more sophisticated, because I don't think they're more sophisticated. They're just more complicated. After a while, you lose, you know, what was... It's really not a hero narrative anymore, and you start to wonder, why are we telling this story this way in the first place? I know there's a lot of comic book stories that I've...
Well, the huge one nowadays is revenge. There's a lot of revenge ones.
Yeah.
And I hate those. I'm not interested in those at all.
Well, just there's just a lot of stories where I sometimes think, you know, it's like someone saw a movie that wasn't a superhero story, and they thought, oh, that's a cool plot. And then they put it in a superhero. They put superheroes in this plot. And yeah. you're reading it, and you can tell that the protagonists in this story do not need to be superheroes. It's a completely irrelevant.
Honestly, as much as I like it, a fair number of the MCU films qualify that way.
Perhaps.
A fair number of those would work better as, like, spy movies or sure. political thrillers
yeah,
and stuff
like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking
definitely.
About.
Definitely. And don't get me wrong, I'm still going to watch them. But no, I think you're right there. It's funny you said that. So I was saying I didn't particularly like John Wick Chapter 2. It gave me a great, seemingly unrelated idea for a role-playing campaign, though.
Oh, okay.
That I might have to do at some point. We are about at time here. So we should probably wrap things up a bit. I thought I had a thing to say, but apparently I did not. So stop harassing me about it. I've started watching all the Cracked After Hours videos in order from the beginning.
Okay.
There's 74 of them currently. Wow. I'm over halfway through them. It's pretty fun. I like it.
Okay.
I have that with a lot of, I get that. I'm starting to get that with the College Humor things, too. Any YouTube series that's a lot of sketch stuff, I start feeling like I know the characters mm-hmm. and bonding with them. I'm starting to have that with College Humor or something, because it's the same cast in a lot of things. And because I love that Adam Ruins Everything show, and almost everyone in that is from College Humor.
Mm.
Maybe I should have let you talk a little bit more about superheroes.
No, I don't think you wanted me to.
If
I think it was boring you. Maybe you should have.
Oh please!
Drawn another card.
If the basis for the show was if it was boring me, we would hardly ever get episodes.
Yeah, but some things bore you more than others.
Other people find us strangely compelling. I don't find us compelling. I try not to listen to myself, like, most of the time. I don't know what I'm saying. If you'd like to tell us whether or not you listen to us, that seems weird. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us. Said, like, I don't listen to you guys at all. But we'll be like, how did you know to say that? They'll be like, what are you talking about? I just, like, go around to different podcasts telling people I don't listen
randomly.
To them.
And
we're like, story checks out. Sorry we bothered you. Also, like us on Facebook, because what's it going to hurt? If you want, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at NotQuiteTony. Not that interesting, though. Today, I tweeted the dumbest thing in the world that just popped into my head this morning, and within 30 seconds, my brother had retweeted it.
Mm.
I just said, oh, so you want me to stop eating so much fast food, huh? Well, if you have another way for me to stockpile napkins, I'd love to hear it.
Mm.
And he retweeted that. But then he replied and said it must be a genetic trait, so I'm guessing he does it too.
Because
when you get fast food, you wouldn't know because you don't ever eat out in any form.
Not very often.
When you get fast food, they put like 12 napkins in there. They just shove a handful in there. So I save them, and then I use them later.
Very smart.
And then also today, I posted a picture of me in underwear to Instagram. So we're just full of good life choices.
That's what we're saying? We're saying you posted a picture of you in underwear?
Well,
I'm just checking. No, because you keep surprising me with your levels of discussion. So yeah, she posted a picture apparently of herself in underwear today. Not sure why. A little
yes,
bit not
you
sure
are
how.
Sure why?
No, why?
Because I'm not wearing my underwear today. I'm wearing your.
You posted
underwear.
It because of that?
Yeah.
Oh wow, my wife's weird. Yeah, my wife didn't do laundry for like 4 nights, and she finally ran out of underwear, so she stole some of mine, and apparently posted a picture of it on Instagram.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
She's weird. and people at home are like, oh, that's why they're married. I always wondered. Courtney even said that. She wants to hear more of the producer. That's the only complaint she has about the podcast. And I'm like, I could just stop and y'all could do it. But apparently that wasn't such a good idea. Yes, Courtney, that story of Trish wearing my underwear and putting it on Instagram was just for you. So I apologize. But otherwise, you guys just listen, and because next week we're going to do this again. There's a little bit of a pattern. If you look back, I think you'll see that Thursdays we do the show.
Yep.
So
every Thursday.
Yeah. Who are you to resist?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.